This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that line from our second lesson today. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I think this line is a little gem from Scripture. Beautiful and even kind of poetic. But sometimes poetry can be a little hard to understand. And so I like the way the New Living Translation of the Bible handles this verse. And it puts it this way. It says, "What is faith? It's the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see." So faith is both confident assurance and evidence. It's the living evidence that we see right now for those things that are off in the future, the things that we cannot yet see. I like that understanding of faith. And if we think about it, we could say that this is a perfect description of what's going on in our readings for this 12th Sunday, this 12th week after Pentecost. Today, God's word for us is faith. And faith is one of those truly big ideas in Scripture. In fact, we use the word faith, don't we, as kind of a shorthand expression of the Christian life. We say, he or she is a person of faith. And I guess since faith is one of these big ideas in Scriptures, we shouldn't be surprised when we read about it in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. You know, faith shows up pretty early in the Bible. It shows up when God singles out Noah. And he sort of lays it on Noah, all this plan that he has to deal drastically with the sin that's just rampaging through the earth. And we know that Noah believes what God tells him. And he acts on it. He acts in faith to do what God tells him to do, even though it probably makes him look like a nutcase to his neighbors at the time, right? The author of Hebrews puts it this way. He says, "It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before." Noah hears this message from God and he acts on it in faith. And that acting on it, makes Noah righteous in God's sight. And in our first lesson, that lesson from Genesis, Abraham acts in faith. And it's through that faith that God, it says, reckons him or considers him as righteous. So going all the way back to the first five books of the Bible, the five books of Moses, and the discussions of that by the Hebrew prophets, there has always been a link between faith and righteousness. God sees those who act in faith as righteous. And we see that in Noah and Abraham. They're among the heroes of faith that the book of Hebrews talks about. And the Hebrew prophet Habakkuk, we never read anything from Habakkuk. It's one of those little books in the Bible. But he speaks about this very directly. Habakkuk says, "Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and in their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faith." From the earliest times, for God and for the people of God, there's been a connection between faith and righteousness. So faith may be one of these little words, but it really is one of the big ideas of Scripture. And as you would expect, there's a lot more going on with this little word of faith than maybe first meets our eye. And one of the things that becomes very clear very fast as we start to think about faith, as we start to read about it, that the more we try to get a handle on this biblical idea of faith, we almost immediately run into problems. And one of those problems is our 21st century English language, believe it or not. Today we almost always use the word faith as a noun. Our faith may be big enough to move mountains, or it might be small as a mustard seed, but we almost always use it to describe a feeling we have, or an idea, or a belief that we hold. And we would never use faith as an action verb, would we? We would never say, "I faith," or "you faith," or "we all faith," or "I will faith someday." And really, that's a problem, because that's the way faith is used in the biblical languages. Our narrow use of the word faith just doesn't capture everything that's going on in that biblical idea of faith. So what are we going to do about that? I mean, none of us, I don't think many of us, me included, are going to go out and become experts in the biblical languages of Greek or Hebrew. You know, who's got time for that? So what do? We can begin to look at those people and stories in the Bible where faith is front and center. And we can begin to start to understand where faith comes from and why it's important. And you know, the story of Abraham is a really good place to start. Abraham is one of those figures in the Bible that's bigger than life. But he's no legend. He is a figure that is firmly rooted in history. He's a hero of faith. He's the patriarch of three great major world faiths: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. All recognize Abraham. And the story of Abraham is a long and involved story. It takes up like 15 different chapters in the book of Genesis, where he's kind of the main figure. And although our lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 15, the story of Abraham starts before that. And his first demonstration of faith shows up in Genesis chapter 12. And he's already aged 75 when this opportunity to show faith comes up for him. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you.'" And then comes this promise: "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." And here's Abram's response. The scripture says, "So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him." Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. That's the village he was living in. So, you know, God obviously has big plans for Abram and his whole family. And as far as we know, this is Abram's first opportunity to demonstrate faith. And thankfully, he makes the most of it. And as you'll see in a minute, the way he demonstrates this faith fits perfectly with the faith that's described as in our second lesson from Hebrews. And not only that, but this act of faith comes as a kind of a finale to a very specific process that just happens over and over again in Scripture. Step one in that process is that God reveals Himself to Abram. Did you catch this? It says, our text says, and the Lord said to Abram, Abram's chance to demonstrate faith, our chance to demonstrate faith, always comes as a response to God's self-revelation to us. God initiates the action. And that revelation might come through words or God's acting in some way or another, but God initiates the process by showing His people something about Himself. And then we have a chance to respond to it. In God's revelation to Abram, He gives him a command, a job to do, doesn't He? God lays out this plan. He's got something in mind for Abram. He's going to make of him a great nation through whom all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. That's a pretty big plan. And it's a big plan, especially if you're age 75 and you have no children. And it's right here that Abram has a chance to respond to God in faith. And you notice how this response doesn't have anything to do with thinking or feeling. Our text simply says, Abram went. Abram went as the Lord had told him. You know, so here faith isn't about having a certain belief or a certain feeling. In this case with Abram, faith is an action. It's a verb. He's doing something. He gets up and goes. He responds to God's revelation and call on his life. He acts in faith. And if we think about it, we start to get a feel for how this faith fits perfectly with that description of faith that comes from our lesson in Hebrews. You know, Abram just gets up and confidently goes. He doesn't know where he's going. He's just doing what God calls him to do. He responds to God's call. He's acting with assurance that God's going to keep His promises. So Abram's actions are that visible evidence of something that's not even seen yet. God hasn't kept His promises. Abram's going to have to wait years and years and years for God to fulfill all those promises that He makes to Abram. Doesn't seem to matter to him. Abram, with assurance, steps out in faith, trusting that God's going to keep those promises that were made. That exact same process is what's going on in our first lesson. Did you notice that in it, God once again reveals Himself to Abram? Years had passed since that first revelation from chapter 12. And our text says, this time the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So it's in a vision this time that God reveals Himself to Abram. And He does it to sort of reaffirm this process, this promise, that was made earlier. In essence, God's telling Abram, just hang in there, guy. It may not look like it. I know I promised you'd be the father of nations. It's a long time has passed. But just hang in there. It's going to happen. And at this point, Abram has a choice, doesn't he? He could just assume that the way things are the way that things are always going to be. He still, after all, is a childless old man living in a tent in Canaan. It doesn't look like he's the father of a nation at this point, does it? But he chooses instead to act and live in such a way as to show his trust in God. Our text simply says, Abram believed the Lord. And here again, this word believed is much more than just sort of intellectual agreement. It's not just, oh yeah, I believe in God. It's not sort of a passive thing. In the Hebrew and the Greek, it's actually this verb believed is an action verb. And it's this active belief that God was going to keep His promises that keeps Abram going. And it's this acting and living like God's going to keep His promises that God looks at Abram and says, that's what makes you righteous in my eyes. It's not that Abram was a perfect guy. If you read this story of Abram that goes through 15 chapters in Genesis, you'll see that he makes a lot of mistakes along the way. But it's because of his faith that God views Abram as righteous. So we can jump to our gospel lesson at this point. And it might not be obvious at first, but this lesson is also a lesson about faith. It's about living and acting in a certain faithful way in anticipation of Christ's return to the earth as king. That comes later in the lesson. Remember, it says, "Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he'll fasten his belt, have him sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them." This is all about Jesus coming back. And we know that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is God's most complete and total and personal revelation. And in this little passage, Jesus is telling us here that if we live and act and believe He is who He says He is, we'll enjoy fellowship with Him forever. What a promise that is. Is that time here yet? We'd like it to be, but we know it isn't. But faith is living with the confidence and assurance that that day will come. Faithful living is the evidence that we have today of that reality that's down the road for us. I'll leave you with one last thought. This faith that we're describing is a gift from God. And it's available to everyone. Romans chapter 12 tells us this. It says, God has allotted a measure of faith to everyone. And so we can ask ourselves, how is that faith ignited? How's it made real and visible and active so that it goes beyond just having some thought in our mind and it shows up in the way that we live? How's faith made active? That also is a gift. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit that comes in response to God's revelation of Himself to His people. I know that every one of us has someone in our lives that we wish that they had faith. But you know, faith isn't self-generating. It's not something that we can just sort of gin up in ourselves. It's a gift from God. Our challenge is to get those that we love into a place, either literally or figuratively, where they can experience God's revelation. What would that look like? You know, God reveals Himself in many, many different ways. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about how God is revealed through the beauty and order of creation. Kind of a general revelation. God's out there. And we know that through the centuries, God has revealed Himself through His written word. We've got Holy Scripture that tells us something about the nature of God. And we know that God's revealed through the proclamation of that word, through the teaching of pastors and Sunday school teachers and other people that are involved in proclaiming God's word. But as I mentioned before, God's most complete revelation is in the Word made flesh, in Christ Jesus. Exposure to Christ, exposure to the story of His life and death and resurrection and promise to come again, exposure to that story is the surest path to understanding God. The more someone is exposed to Jesus, the more likely it is that his or her faith is going to be ignited. The more we're in a position to understand who Christ is, this living incarnation of God, the more likely it is that our faith will grow, that we'll be able to live in a faith that's real in the world today, and that our life would be different from the life that's going on in culture around us. And so may our prayer be that God will grant us the strength and the faith to share Christ with those we love, and with those who need it most. Amen.